another podcast provided by the CPA Technology Advisor at the intersection of technology and public accounting. Small Business Consulting to Go is a monthly discussion with Executive Editor Greg LaFollette and nationally recognized accounting software expert Doug Slater. These highly sought-after thought leaders discuss the tricks and techniques used by the profession's top-performing small business accounting consultants. Learn what's hot and what's not as they cover QuickBooks, Peachtree, Microsoft Accounting, and the myriad of add-ons that make small businesses work better and help them be more profitable. Small Business Consulting to Go is sponsored by Bill Quick.
Hello, Greg LaFollette, the CPA Technology Advisor, and welcome to Intersection Live. We're recording today's Small Business Consulting to Go, Episode 4, and we're recording this on December 19th, my bride's birthday, so I have to remember that now that I saw that date. And our regularly scheduled guest is here, our resident expert in the small business consulting world, longtime speaker and a regular columnist for the CPA Technology Advisor, Doug Slater. Good afternoon, Doug.
Hello, Greg. It's good to be here.
It's actually not afternoon for you because I'm in South Dakota and you're out in Hawaii, so you're still morning, right?
Well, it is still morning, but it's feeling afternoonish. It's beautiful weather here in Hawaii. I wish everybody could come over here and do this show with us live right here. It would be kind of cool.
Well, last time I was just came back from Hawaii not long ago, and from my observation, it looked like everybody was there already.
Yeah,
there were pretty good crowds. Well, before we get going, I want to cover a couple of things. I first want to again thank our regularly scheduled sponsor, BQE Software, and the guys that make Bill Quick. They're a great bunch of guys, and they've got a really interesting product that an awful lot of accountants and consultants and architects and engineers and lawyers and lots of other service people use. A great add-on to QuickBooks or Peachtree or Microsoft Office Accounting. They seem to be to do a really, really good job, and an awful lot of people are real happy with them, so I'd encourage you to take a look at them. And while you're looking at them, tell them that you heard about them right here on Small Business Consulting to Go, and thank them for helping us pay the bandwidth bills. We appreciate it. Also, as we do for all of our podcasts, we do put up a set of show notes, so worries about having to quick scribble down the name of a product or a website. You can simply go to the magazine website, cpata.com or cpatechadvisor.com, and take a look at Intersection Live, and you'll see all the show notes for not only Small Business Consulting to Go, but for all of our podcasts. And they'll have we try and do as much as we can to indicate all the websites and the product names and things like that. And finally, if you have questions or comments or thoughts you'd like to share with us, we do keep a voicemail box, and you can call us at 800-456-0864, and our extension is 2106. So again, it's 800-456-0864. Extension 2106. So if you've got a question, feel free to drop us a voicemail, I guess, and let us know. And if it's an easy question, I'll answer it. If it's a hard question, I'll pass it off to you, Doug. How's that sound?
Sounds great to me.
Okay. And we are recording today live on TalkShoe at www.talkshoe.com. If you want to join us live, and I see there are a couple of people here with us live today, if you do want to join us live, just go get yourself a free account and take a peek next time we record. It's also in our show notes, but our next recording is Tuesday, January 22nd, and we're going to record at 3:30 p.m. Central. So so you'll figure that out wherever you happen to be, but 3:30 Central on the 22nd of January. So that's well after Christmas, well after the New Year, well after our trip to Las Vegas for CES. You're going to go out and buy toys again this year with me, Doug?
I think so, Greg. The CES show that everyone may have heard of in the past is quite an event. You go every year, and I've been going now for a couple of years, and it's just an incredible event where you can see everything in technology that's coming out new every year.
It's quite the toy show, way more than any one person can handle. But that will be after the new year, and right now it's not the new year yet. We've still got a couple of days left, and people will by the time they're listening to this. And Doug, I thought one of the things that we should talk about, actually you thought and told me that this is what we should talk about, just to be fair, is that we should talk a little bit about payroll. And I know from my years and years and years of practice that now is the time when many, many people think it's only possible to modify or change their payroll provider at calendar year end. And while that is a good time, we all know it's not the only time, but many clients think that it's the only time, and it's a good time to take a look at all of those clients and figure out whether or not they're properly served. And there's a lot of different players. It used to be there were just a couple. I mean, you either did it yourself or you called ADP.
Mm-hmm.
That was about it. 25 years ago, that was it, Doug. What happened?
Yeah, and we lived through this sort of evolution of payroll services and payroll options together. And, yes, I agree with you. It used to be pretty simple. Either the accountant did it, the client almost never did it, or well, at least they never did it right, as you well know. So the accountant was doing well.
That part hasn't changed.
Yeah. Although maybe I'll talk about a few things that maybe start to indicate that some of the clients can do things better anyway.
Sure. Well, now they have lots of help.
Well, they do. It's not that they're doing it; it's that online services are often the one that they're doing it for them.
Right.
But
30 years ago, accountants did all the payroll, and then
mm-hmm.
ADP came along and they did a great job. And I mean, these guys are great friends, and they actually sponsor our Tech2Go podcast,
mm-hmm.
and they got great software and they do a good job. But they were also great marketers. They came along and they said to us as a profession, "You're too smart and too good. Your time is too valuable to be doing payroll." And as a group, we smiled and handed them hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars worth of business. It said, "Here, you guys go do that." And they did it. They did it very well. And they produced more W-2s than anybody else in the country. They're out there. They spawned some long time, I mean, they have had good competition, Paychex for one, and there's a couple of other people that are kind of in that category. Doug, who else do you see in that old category?
Well, I've always kind of looked at ADP as being sort of that granddaddy that you kind of described there, and then Paychex really has been there for so long and done a fantastic job. It might be said that Paychex is more targeting the smaller client size, you know, up to 50 employees.
They're certainly the Avis. They number two.
Yeah.
They try harder.
That's for sure. Yeah. And what's really well, another one I'd like to mention is PrimePay. I've heard from our network of consultants over the years that they just do a fantastic job. I don't think they have nearly the forces, if you will, on the street, the sales forces or whatever on the street going
sure.
into businesses and doing selling, but they do a good job of providing service.
Sure.
And there are several others. I think the key is I kind of consider these guys the old guard of payroll services. They've got their processes flushed out so well that you just can't go wrong by hiring one of them to do your payroll.
Sure.
I think that the thing that's new, I guess, in the last several years now, but they're really starting to flourish now, are these online payroll service providers. And PayCycle really is one who kind of paved the road here. They came out with a completely online piece of software that you basically, as a small business owner, can just log in directly and just put your employees on there and start doing paychecks. It does direct deposits into your employees' accounts. It does all the accruals of the liabilities and paying the liabilities and those sorts of things.
Well,
and it does it very
– Let's take a second, Doug, and kind of make sure that everybody understands what's happening here.
Okay.
Now, PayCycle, and by the way, we'll talk a lot more about PayCycle. Maybe we should have them on because they were one of your awesome add-on winners, right?
They are.
Okay,
we
kind of cover one of those for every month, and you know, this month and soon we'll be talking about over in the ASP world one of your awesome add-ons for this month. But can we get the PayCycle people on next month to kind of have us flesh out what their world is like?
Yes, in fact, I just talked with them the other day and invited them to come on with us sometime. So I would like to bring one of their people on and
You
kind of interview them a little bit because they
Do
have some good stuff. Yeah,
they do a good job. So they're out there, and SurePrep is out there, and Accountants World, Accountants Relief is out there, and they've all got this model where the accountant is the boss and. They being the provider, whoever they are, SurePay or PayCycle, whoever, they do what the accountant says, and they present some stuff to the client and some stuff to the accountant, and so you kind of do it together. And as an accountant, you can say, well, I'm going to have this client do 40%, this client do 80%, this client do 10%, and you've got an awful lot of control, but all the horsepower sits on the web, right?
Mm-hmm. In that example, that's for sure.
Okay.
It's all web based, and
right.
I think. But you're touching on the key issue that I think that accountants want to really think about is who's. It's a shared responsibility. Payroll always will be,
right.
Because there's the data gathering of the hours worked or the jobs, if it's job costing, or those sorts of things that the employer must take on here, and so there's the sharing, and we could go for hours about how much to share with the client of the payroll calculations, or how much to take away from the client and provide more services, both from an online service perspective and from an accounting firm. How much do you want to be involved, or do you want to teach your client to use some online tool? Seems like the number of options just got dramatically larger, and I think it's because different business owners have different sets of needs, different accounting firms have different skill sets or, let me just say, business plans for where they want to make their money, and some are now saying, hey, payroll, which maybe in the past they would have said, I can't make money on payroll, send it to paychecks. Now they're kind of reconsidering that question because there are better tools in the marketplace, both online and desktop. I mean, if I can move a little bit into the QuickBooks world where I come from, I mean, QuickBooks has an incredible lineup of payroll options for the accountant as well as the client.
Well, and just also the other thing, the interesting thing that's happened is since we've had things like Intuit getting into the payroll business, Thompson is now in the payroll business in a big way with a whole series of offerings over in the Creative Solutions side, and they got that MyPay, and they've got Do It Together and Do It Yourself, and We'll Do It For You.
Yep.
They got all of that stuff, and ADP is and paychecks have gone. You know what? We have to get in this game too. So now they have lots of do it together, a lot of private branding. Mm-hmm. Now they're very interested in being accountants partners. So many accountants are going, I can get involved and do it myself, or I can get involved and do it with a partner, where I can get involved and do it kind of on the web with a partner, and I'll do part of it, my client will do part of it, or, you know, or I'll do some of them myself and the rest of them I'll farm out. It's no longer either do it or not do it.
Yeah,
that was the old way.
That's exactly right. They're now, in fact, ADP kind of refers to three different ways you can work with them. You can refer them clients like we always have,
right,
or they will actually acquire your payroll service business if you have been doing it yourself. You can actually sell your clients to them, or you can sort of provide a wholesale resell almost of their services to your clients. So if you think of it, referral, acquire, wholesale kind of options, then you can think from the accounting firm perspective, where do you want to fit? Do you want to just, again, completely outsource, in which case there's two ways to go. Refer clients all day long and just don't be involved directly. Or if you had been doing some and you want to get out of that business, you know, sell it off to them. Or wholesale, kind of saying, I provide the services, but I will sort of take like a commission on the pieces that I'm allowing them to serve, and then also billing some of my time for the services I provide.
Right. And the interesting thing to me is that while there are, accountants tend to fall in one of those three camps, and interestingly enough, about a third of each. A third say,
mm-hmm,
I want nothing to do with payroll. You do it. Somebody
mm-hmm
else just do it. I'm
mm-hmm
out.
Right.
And about a third of them say, you know what, I'm going to partner with somebody. We're going to do, you know, we'll do a little bit. We'll, you know, we'll do some ourselves and we'll outsource the rest. And, you know, they're kind of in the middle. And then about a third of the firms, which is up quite a bit over the last 4 or 5 years, about a third of the people out there say, you know what, we're going to be in the payroll business. We're going to
mm-hmm
we're going to go out and buy software, which is one of the choices that, you know, that they get in the, certainly in the Intuit world, or
mm-hmm
in the Microsoft Office accounting world, or in that Thompson world. You just plain buy payroll preparation process or software and do it in your house, in your
mm-hmm
office.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Well, yeah, and I think that might be worth drilling on all three of those possibilities a little further. So each client base, or each client, I might have a different decision on where I want to play. Some clients I just don't trust to touch payroll at all because they either have just a bookkeeper who can barely do invoices or whatever, and that's as far as the skill set goes.
Or worse than that, it's the owner's wife.
Well, we could, often, or husband, if the case may be. I have several of those now, too.
Yeah.
So, or kid, or nobody really, you
right
know, they just throw the shoebox still. But anyway, those are the kind of people, they do have to get payroll done. So if I were to take a client like that today, I would basically be choosing between two alternatives. One, an online solution. If I'm an accounting firm and I want to, you know, do my business from Hawaii occasionally, like I like to do, I'm going to use something like PayCycle or the Accountants World or the Thompson stuff, because those online products allow me to just do it anywhere, anytime. And I sure don't like having to be home on a payday in order to actually interact and create paychecks and those
sure
sorts of things.
And that used to be one of the big objections. If I'm in payroll, I'm in payroll jail.
Yeah, you're tethered to the office during
exactly
those times of the month. So that's really where I probably want to take everybody, is to some online solution. Now, but many of the accounting firms and QuickBooks consultant people have been very familiar with and comfortable with the Intuit lineup of services. And Intuit provides really four, but I'll just talk about two big chunks. There's an online solution that's sort of new from Intuit now, and I'll get to that in a sec. But the first three are sort of basic payroll, enhanced payroll, and enhanced payroll for accountants. And the one I want to focus on for a sec is the enhanced payroll for accountants, which really says if you're an accounting firm or a consultant or something, you can process payroll for up to 50 clients. and all for one fee, something like $300 a year or whatever, something real close to that. And you're going to use your QuickBooks at your office to actually run the payroll right there. You can also do direct deposit and electronic payments of the taxes, as well as e-filing of the returns and those sorts of things. So you really can be in the service of doing payroll with a piece of software that sits right on your desktop. And yes, it relies on online access to get, you know, the tax tables and those sorts of things. But it's a very affordable thing. For $300, I can basically, in software cost, I can serve up to 50 clients. That's pretty compelling.
Right.
If you do not mind being tethered to the office. Anyway, then there the other two options that Intuit allows, the enhanced and the basic payroll, are really more for the client who's going to do their own payroll, calculating their paychecks at their office. And those are very, you know, very well fleshed out services at this point, and they're inexpensive. I think enhanced is somewhere around $200 a year. So that's very inexpensive when you look at the monthly amount that is. And the basic payroll, which, you know, it doesn't do any of the e-filing or e-paying, but that's only $100 a year. So there's a lot of things there that many people are using, and happily so. But anyway, the online is where I kind of, you know, I'm just favoring online everywhere I can go these days. And I think you are too, for all those obvious benefits. You know, Intuit just, I think it was last summer, introduced this Intuit online payroll. And it's interesting to me because it is a product that you don't need QuickBooks for to use. You don't, but in fact, it doesn't even integrate with QuickBooks. So if you're doing their online payroll and creating the paychecks and stuff, one of the next pieces you have to do is get that data into your accounting records. And you would expect that it would integrate right in with QuickBooks, but that product, at least at this point, doesn't do that integration. I'm sure that's only a matter of time before they implement that.
So, Doug, you know, when we're looking at all of these different things, tell me what's your suggestion to your consultants? I mean, you talk to hundreds and hundreds of consultants around the country who are part of the Sleater Group, and you talk to them about how to be, you know, how to do a better job dealing with their clients. Should they be proactive right now, going out and talking to their clients and saying, "Hey, I want to talk to you about payroll. I'm not, you know, I don't know what the right answer is for you, but I want to talk to you about it." What kind of questions, you know, I'm the client, you're the accountant, what are you going to say to me?
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess the first one I'm going to say is online versus full service. That is, I want you to focus. Now, you're an accountant, and I'm talking to you now, and you're asking me, where should I, what's the best payroll service?
No,
and I'm
going
to say, what's that?
What I want to get to is, What are the questions that the accountant should be asking his client?
Oh, the client. Oh, I'm sorry.
So I go out and talk to the client, and I say, I mean, I want to, it's your end, and I'm talking to the client anyway, and I'm kind of doing the health checklist, and I'm saying, you know, what kinds of questions do I ask them to figure out, I mean, do they even know if they're in pain about their payroll?
Yeah, definitely. I see your points here. So I think the way I want a client to begin to think is, how many of your employees, well, first, how many do you have? How many employees? Are they hourly? Are they salary? If they're hourly, do we track job costs? If or any sort of allocations of time-based payments to employees that need to somehow arrive and be allocated to jobs or projects or whatever in the firm. Those kinds of considerations, I think, are really crucial, because I'll just say one example is maybe a contracting construction type company who needs to do job costing. They've got to really consider, how are they tracking time? and I want to move that client towards some sort of timesheet system. There's QuickBooks has, you know, timesheets on the software itself. They now have an online solution where you can have the employees log in directly and log their time, including the job that they worked on for every day. But then when it gets more complicated, more jobs, more projects, more phases of projects, we really want to take them to something like BillQuick, because those guys really have that whole feature set worked out where the origination of payroll starts, you know, at the timesheets. So I really want to focus them there and get them to an online time collection system for sure. I also want the client to think about their workers' compensation. What kind of workers' comp do they have? Is it a complicated thing where they have many different types of workers and many different workers' comp categories?
Sure.
And if so, then that takes additional, let me just say, calculations of the premium for the workers' comp on every paycheck.
Right.
There are solutions out there. You know, even QuickBooks has a workers' comp tracking capability within it. But if we're going to start using some of these online systems or these other services, we have to consider how are we going to get the information from every employee and what they worked on during the period as far as workers' comp is concerned over to the payroll calculations. So I'm going to really ask questions of the client and really understand what their employment is like. Tips is another thing. If you've got a restaurant client, if they've got tips, boy, that really messes with payroll. Let me just say it that way.
You've got multi-state and you know, certified payrolls and union dues and all sorts of things. And the interesting thing is the more complicated the payroll gets, in many cases, the more attractive an online system is, because you can have all that horsepower is easier to maintain in the sky than it is in your office.
Yeah, now that's true, Greg, but one thing I've been finding as I kind of drill into some of the online services is at this stage, we don't have the kind of feature sets that we're used to in the desktop applications yet in those online products.
Some of them, that is true, yes.
Yeah, so that's why those questions that you're going to ask the client are so critical, because, yeah, I always want to go to an online solution because I just think it's going to be where we're all going to end up in not too many years. But just be real careful to ask the specific questions of the online provider to make sure that the feature sets are there for things like that.
Sure. Okay. So the whole payroll thing is, well, I'm anxious to bring the pay cycle people on, because I was surprised this year at your conference when you gave them an awesome add-on award, because they're not really an add-on.
Well, they're not an add-on, and actually
they're
awesome, right, but they're not. I've been modifying my awesome add-on definition slightly, because I am finding that what's happening is more and more these are products. Well, just to back up a minute, I mean, add-on to in my vernacular means add-on to QuickBooks, and I've been giving these awards for a couple years to companies who differentiate themselves and stand out as being what I consider just awesome. They do a good job of integration with QuickBooks. They do a feature that QuickBooks doesn't do itself, or something along those lines.
Right.
But more and more, I think what it's about is the client and the accountant are looking for ways to solve problems that small businesses have. And sometimes, although it isn't officially an add-on, it would be a service or a product that is very closely related to the whole thing. And one we have this month is that I want to make sure I talk a little bit about is CPA ASP.
In fact, another awesome add-on. that absolutely isn't an add-on.
Yeah, that's right. They're not an add-on, but they're awesome.
Right, and, they are awesome.
Yeah.
Now,
and,
we have, as we start talking about CPA, ASP, and that whole world, we have Joni Mann standing by. I see that she's here, and I can go get her and bring her into the discussion, Doug, and let's talk a little bit about CPA, ASP, and how that works, because I started being involved in the ASP world back in 1999, way before it was cool. And one of the very first people I met was Joni Mann, and she's been in this business ever since then, and probably before then. And so I'll bring her in. Joni, are you with us?
I am with you. It's good to see you again.
Super. Well, thanks so much for joining us. As you know, Joni, I refer to you as the queen of ASP, and you always tell me that you'd rather be the goddess. Is that right?
No, I feel that I am the goddess.
Yeah, you are the goddess.
I am.
You certainly
goddess.
Are the queen. You've been around in this ASP world for a long, long, long time.
Longer than I'm willing to admit.
Well, right. I know you started in junior high. you know, trying to help accountants, specifically accountants, and the ASPs have been kind of up and down and around. And for a while we thought everything was going to be everything right away, and then it looked like it was going to take a little bit longer. So, tell me about CPA ASP, and you know, just one small part of a larger organization. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, CPA ASP was originally born all the way back in 1997 when we realized that some of our first subscribers to hosted application services were accountants using QuickBooks. And as time went on, we realized that a lot of companies were adopting this type of a technology and working model largely because of their accounting and finance departments. And so we took kind of a subset of our customers out of our general utility computing company and put them into this new little business model that we fondly refer to as e-accounting, which is really all about applying technology to improve the accounting process.
Okay, so when you first started doing that, you must have been a very lonely gal, because it wasn't actually taken off very fast, and QuickBooks, frankly, didn't play very well. You had to learn a lot of things. You had to be really smart to make it run. In a Citrix world, right?
That's right.
And so you learned a lot of those tricks very early, and have been pulling that off. Doug, you've watched other people try and do this, maybe okay, maybe not so okay. You told me that you were pretty impressed with what CPA ASP had with their QuickBooks affiliate. What's the story on that thing?
Yeah, a couple things there. I have seen several people implement or attempt to implement online access to QuickBooks. There's several ways to do it. You can set up a terminal server in your office and get your clients to log in and start using QuickBooks, but then very quickly, in fact, several of our people in our network have gone down this path, very quickly you realize it isn't so easy. And if it's down in the middle of the night, you're going to get a call. And if you're not there, you're going to have a lot of mad people. So what we found with CPASP and Joni in specific is, number one, they have the technical understanding of what it takes to host not only QuickBooks, but any number of applications. And they understand the service levels that you have to provide to satisfy clients and their accountants, because this is not a part-time job.
Right.
So I just was really impressed. I like to say Joni paved the road for this whole marketplace of online serving of applications such as QuickBooks to clients, and it just fits so well for what we in the accounting services business need to really leverage more and more technology to more and more clients. So I just think that's why they're awesome in my view.
Well, it was sort of interesting. I mean, I grew up in a public accounting practice. My parents were both accountants and things like that. And I was the lucky kid who got to jump in the car and drive to all the client offices and pick up the shoebox full of documents. And, you know, and so I grew up in that public accounting market, you know, dealing with the clients, understanding what the challenges that the professionals were dealing with, as well as the small business clients. And so as the technology emerged and became available and viable for us to create, I guess what we call an economy of scale for these small businesses, we created that scale economy in the data center, and now we've started to deliver services, you know, that really mitigate the effects of time and distance, and those really are the problems, or, you know, that is the core of the problem in the relationship between a small business owner and his public accountant, is they're not at the same place at the same time.
So, Joni, let's go back and visit one part of this that Doug alluded to a little bit earlier, and I kind of chuckled, you know, when I first met you, Joni. If you'll recall, I was back then a Thompson exec, and we were rolling out a product that has now come to be known as Virtual Office.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a huge number of firms using it. They're very, very happy and seems to work really well to run it, you know, in one of the largest data centers in the world. And I know that all of your stuff lives in a Class 5 data center.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then I hear these people talking about, you know, they'll ask a question about security. Well, is it secure up there? And, you know, when the server in their office is in the closet, that's, you know, with a mop on top of it.
Right, right. Or gets...
talk to me a little bit about about what that Class 5 data center means.
Well, the data center necessarily has a lot of the redundancy that most, you know, the average business is not going to build into their own IT infrastructure or their own building, for that matter.
They can never afford it, right?
Oh, they could not possibly afford it. With the redundancies in electrical power, for example, multiple redundant circuits, plus, you know, huge Liebert generators and things like that to back it up if the power is ever lost.
And automatic failover. And
yeah, and it's and all of those technologies to make that completely seamless. You know, in terms of physical security, you know, we're talking about, you know, not just locked cages and racks and things like that, but we're talking about, you know, man traps and biometric controls and, you know, hand and eye scanners and things like that, you know, which provides for a security environment that's, you know, far, far greater, far more secure than anything you would typically find in an office, even a highly secure office.
Right. So, you know, you have those sorts of things, and, you know, I talked to many, I was just at the Thompson conference not long ago, and talked to a lot of people there, and they really like Virtual Office, but guess what? They don't have QuickBooks.
They want QuickBooks.
They want QuickBooks.
Well, by volume, there's a lot of QuickBooks users out there, you know?
Yeah, that's a good point. I hear that often from the guys in Mountain View, and it's true. So, you know, now you, on the other hand, you are vendor agnostic. I mean,
mm-hmm.
You'll put whatever you want, and that's, in fact, you know, when you and I first started working together, it was over how you could go about supporting some of the Thompson products.
Correct.
You know, in your service, and you know, a lot of the vendors are, you know, have been early on, were a little nervous about, you know, how, you know, can we really support this stuff in an ASP. What does that mean? And what does it mean to licensing? And what does it mean, you know, how do I get it to run, to play well in Citrix world, all of that stuff. But you've got now lots of different people. So if I'm a firm and I come to you and say, look, I want QuickBooks and I want ProFX Tax and I want Creative Solutions Depreciation and I want Bill Quick, time and billing.
Mm-hmm.
Set that up for me. How do you do that?
Pretty easily, actually. I mean, we do that, you know, pretty regularly. We've got two different classes of service, or two different flavors, if you will. One flavor of services, pretty standard, you know, the generic QuickBooks, Microsoft Office, that type of thing. But when we have practices that want something more than the generic applications, like the mixture that you just mentioned, we put in dedicated custom server environments. And so, you know, a practice can come to us with, a mixture of applications that they require not only for their business, but also to support their client businesses. And we have the ability to deploy an environment specifically for them with that specific mixture of applications as an online application service.
So you'll do a one-off.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, we do a lot of one-offs. I mean, that's okay. One of the things that we've pretty much found in the industry is that there is a certain amount of consistency in some of the general use applications, but when it comes down to the client business, nobody knows ahead of time what that client is going to need.
Sure.
And so the client business frequently is what drives the practice into needing some customized solutions.
So, Doug, why has Intuit never really gotten into the online business? Now, somebody's going to, from Intuit, will call me immediately and talk to me about QuickBooks Online.
Right.
I know I use it myself. It's
yeah, you use
product.
That yourself?
So,
yeah.
So leave that alone. But
right, gotcha.
You know, a lot of they've I was a little bit surprised when they came up now and they've anointed a couple of people and I think Joni, you're one of them.
Mm-hmm.
With some sort of special designation. What is that?
Well, Intuit approached us and one other organization with an opportunity for a license. And over the last couple of years, the end user license agreement for the QuickBooks products has been changed pretty significantly and tightened up to try to prohibit the general use of these software in a hosted or ASP type of an infrastructure. And in order for Intuit to consider this business model and, you know, and frankly, in order for it to go forward, there had to be a way for us to be compliant with the license, the license that says you can not run this software with an ASP. And so that was what they approached us with, was a license to host, which gives us the right to host the supported versions of the QuickBooks products with Intuit's full recognition.
So, Doug, why would they do that when they have QuickBooks Online? Isn't that cannibalization?
Yeah, actually, hard to speak for them, of course, just like you were saying. But I think that they recognized, I'm just going to guess, they recognized the real value that Joni was bringing to a whole bunch of customers. And they said, okay, we don't want to necessarily prevent this because we can't, number one, and in order to prevent it, it would be very expensive legally to try and maybe even not prevail in putting it away. But the question is, why wouldn't they want to do it? Well, maybe because of QuickBooks Online Edition. And just in case some of our audience isn't aware of exactly what that is, I know you use it, Greg, but it's a completely different product. It is from the ground up re-engineered brand new software that only runs over the web. So it is not QuickBooks. It's a different product, and therefore it's only online. So it's a different product line, and QuickBooks desktop editions go forward and are being sold, and that's clearly most of the revenues at Intuit. QuickBooks Online Edition, although it's a nice product, it hasn't taken off as fast for sure as QuickBooks. It's still coming into its own. And so when it comes to licensing someone like InSync, CPA ASP, to do QuickBooks, I think Intuit had to say, well, yeah, we wish the online edition was selling more probably, and we think it will, but there is a certain customer who insists on the desktop version of QuickBooks, and here's Joni out here basically built a whole business around hosting it, which I think they began to really realize how complex Joni's business is, and they just decided, hey, we're going to partner on this one instead of try to compete.
Sure, sure. So, and the other player in this, Doug, was who?
Right Networks is the other player in
there.
And
we'll put that in the show notes so that everybody's got it. But basically, at this point, if you want QuickBooks in a hosted environment, and you don't want to do it and manage it yourself, you want to just have somebody else do it, and you want to do it within the terms of your license, you're going to choose one of those two people. Do I understand that correctly, Joni?
That is correct.
Okay, but that doesn't mean that I can't host it myself.
Well, no, it doesn't mean that you can't host it yourself. I think the intent is to prohibit, you know, the average guy from hosting other people's licenses.
Right.
So, you know, a firm can host for itself its own licenses, et cetera, but I don't believe Intuit's looking favorably on that firm hosting licenses that are owned by their customers.
Right.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they don't like that model, and probably mostly, although it's a license and revenue problem, but I don't even think that's the biggest issue. I think it's the resultant customer experience that
mm-hmm.
is probably going to be compromised.
It's a support issue.
It is.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if it's not working and there's some problem, mm-hmm. you know, it's then you're into this thing where you know, the hoster says, well, it's not my fault, it's Intuit's fault, and Intuit
mm-hmm.
says, you know, it's working, it's your hoster problem, and so now you're right in the middle of that.
Yeah.
And that puts people in a bad place. But if you're doing it with somebody who's blessed, then you've got somebody, and I'm sure, Joni, you enjoy some enhanced access with the Mountain View people?
Yes, to a point.
Okay.
We are in a position of discovering a lot of things for ourselves still. And because this isn't a broadly supported model by Intuit, their support staff, et cetera, are not necessarily geared up, you know, to address the specific problems that we run into.
Right.
And so, yes, I mean, we have a direct line to them, and we do have an ability to get escalated events and things like that. But fundamentally, we still are largely responsible for supporting the application.
It could be true that you know more about the problems than anyone.
in this type of an environment, certainly. I think that we've pushed the terminal server and the Citrix envelope, I think, a little bit further than a lot of other people did. And simply because of that, because of the volume, because of the experience, we have a lot of additional insight into how the application works and how to work around it.
So it's year end. We talked a little bit about payroll at year end. If accountants are sitting around right now and they're listening to this and they say, I want to take all of my stuff, I want to be out of this business, if they start planning now, is it reasonable that sometime after tax season, you could have everything up for them and they'd be completely network free? All they'd have in their office would be some machines and
mm-hmm.
And a router.
Yeah, absolutely. Right now is certainly not the time to start implementing that.
That's why I was pointing.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and our production queue is extremely full right now with firms that chose to do exactly that. Within a matter of weeks, typically, we are able to have a system fully up running and office fully deployed.
And is there anything that you can't run on your networks, Joni, assuming that I can produce an appropriate license for you?
Yeah, well, you know, there are a lot of things that can run. We just don't recommend it. We don't often run into software that just flat will not run. I mean, there are certainly applications that were built that when you run the installer, they see that they're installing on a terminal server, and they simply come up with a message that says, we don't run on terminal server, and you can't install those. There are a lot of applications that we can technically install, but we question why you would want to. For example,
sure.
Quicken. Quicken is one of my favorites. Everybody wants Quicken. The problem is Quicken is install it once per server for one user.
Right.
And so it's kind of expensive, you know, to put one copy of Quicken for one user on, you know, a $20,000 server.
Right.
So, you know, there are frequently applications that clients want us to deploy. And we have to have conversations with them in terms of what is the use of the app, you know, make sure it's appropriate. A lot of imaging applications and things like that don't run well in a terminal server environment.
Well, Joni, I certainly appreciate your coming on and sharing some of your thoughts and some time with us. And congratulations on the awesome add-on award.
Thank you.
Something you should be very proud of. I appreciate your time, and we're gonna start wrapping up here. So thanks so much for joining us, and have a great Christmas.
Thank you very much.
So, Doug. We're going to record next month, and I'm anxious now to bring the PayCycle people on. You know, that's going to be fun.
Yes, and you know, we're going to talk about some of the nuance of their product. The pricing we'll talk about. I can basically say that it's very aggressive pricing, like $15 a month per client, up to 50 people. You can handle payrolls up to 50, but they've also done a lot for the accounting professional, and so we're going to ask Julie to come on with us and talk to us about you know, her new affiliate program, because they're really trying to do more business with the accounting firms to you know, maybe put us more into the payroll business profitably.
Right. Well, Julie Lubkin is a great gal out there in Palo Alto, and does a good job for those people, and certainly knows her payroll. So we look forward to trying to make sure we can get her on. What else are we going to talk about besides payroll? You know, we'll kind of do that as the awesome add-on for next month.
Uh-huh.
What kind of topic ideas do you have for next month, Doug, or is that going to be a secret?
Well, no, we'll give you a little of it now. I want to talk about merchant accounts. We've been looking at merchant accounts and the whole issue of getting the small business owners' merchant account system kind of put into good shape. There's such benefit both for the accounting firm who wants to start billing their clients with Visa. I mean, you know, still a lot of people aren't doing that, and that kind of surprises me. So.
Yeah.
Getting a merchant account, then we're going to gear up for February. I'll just kind of leak at least what I'm thinking at this point, is to kind of get into the issues around e-commerce and getting the web store and all of the selling online and pulling that information into your accounting system, whatever it may be.
Okay. Well, I saw a lot of people lined up at some of the sessions at the Sleater Group conference, specifically around that. So I know it's a high interest area, and mm-hmm. a lot of consultants out there. If you're going to be in small business consulting, there's a lot of businesses that are moving into that area. So that will be helpful. And
mm-hmm.
we are recording that again on January 22nd at 3:30 Central. And immediately prior to that day at 1:00, we'll be recording Accounting Firm Security to Go with Dave Cieslak. And as you know, that's taken off really, really well. A lot of people real interested in accounting firm security. And we're just wrapping up our final or our first year with Tech2Go. So we'll do Tech2Go episode 13 next month on January 24th. Fourth at 11:30 a.m. Central. And with that, I think, Doug, we're done. You have a great holiday out on the island. I'll think about you here. It's supposed to be above freezing tomorrow.
Oh, how wonderful.
Thanks very much, Doug. Merry Christmas. Everybody else, have a great holiday, and be sure to tune in with us next month. Bye for now.
That wraps up this edition of Small Business Consulting to Go. Join Greg and Doug again next month for more insight and advice you can trust. This has been a podcast provided by the CPA Technology Advisor at the intersection of technology and public accounting.